Todd Rundgren has been on the road with his reunited band Utopia this fall, playing shows without its original keyboard player, Mark Moogie Klingman. Illness kept Klingman from joining his old friend on stage, and it eventually took his life on November 15th. Rundgren wrote on his Facebook page, "Moogie Klingman, longtime friend and utopian, passed away after a difficult battle with cancer. He will be greatly missed. R.I.P. Moogie." The band Utopia is just one of the musical signposts from Todd Rundgren's long career as a performer, producer. But for a lot of people, there's just one song they hear when his name is mentioned. Written originally for his garage rock band, Naz, in the 60s, "Hello, It's Me" remains a staple on classic rock radio. Today, besides taking Utopia back out on the road, Rundgren is still making his own music, working with string quartets and orchestras in Europe. And on his latest CD, he covers songs by the legendary bluesman Robert Johnson. Here in Now's Alex Ashlock spoke with Todd Rundgren before Utopia's recent show at the Wilbur Theater in Boston.
Well, I started out as a guitar player in a blues band. That was my first actual paying gig, heavily emulating Eric Clapton and Jeff Beck and a number of other guitar players, many of which had gone through either the Yardbirds or John Mayall's band or the Butterfield Blues Band. There was just a lot of guitar players to emulate in those days, and almost all of them were blues-based. That's where I started out. Eventually, I realized that there were some limitations in terms of, you know, white guys playing the blues, and put together a band that was intended to play a little bit more of a pop-flavored, bluesy rock and roll thing, but with more vocals to it and more interesting subject matter, I suppose, than being chased by the law.
Or the devil.
Or the devil, or some angry woman.
You also come from Philadelphia, I believe, and there's sort of a Philadelphia soul sound in a lot of your music.
Yeah, we had the good fortune of growing up with a fairly liberal radio network of radio stations there. We also grew up with the tradition of dance records out of Cameo Parkway, Chubby Checker and Dee Dee Sharp and the Orlans and, bunch of other people who pretty much did exclusively songs about dance crazes. We got exposed to a lot of R&B. We got exposed to a lot of R&B or black acts. I remember it was my junior high school or my high school. We got a little break from school. We all went to the gymnasium, and the Orlans came and did like a couple of their hits, South Street and Wawa Tootsie and stuff like that. There wasn't a black kid in the entire school.
Something Anything album, 1972, I believe, was a real touchstone for me, one of my favorite records. You pretty much did everything, I think, on three sides of that record, playing, singing, producing, everything.
Kind of was the logical conclusion of the way I'd been working up until then. Even with the Naz, when we went in to do our first couple of records, maybe exclusively because of the fact that on the back of the Beatles' first American release, they listed every instrument they had ever touched in the course of producing that record. You know, maracas, vibes, whatever it is, organ, things like that. I always had the idea that you were supposed to, you know, play a lot of different instruments. And when we went to L.A. to record our first album. I remember one of the first things we did was we went to Studio Instrument Rentals, and I just walked around the entire place writing down things and what day they should show up in the studio. Kettle drums on Thursday, tubular bells next Saturday. And so by the time I started doing my own records, even my very first album, there were probably several tunes in which I was playing a good number of instruments besides a guitar or piano. And then by the second album, it's pretty much just a rhythm section and me, no other players of any kind. And then I figured by the time I got to Something Anything, I had had enough experience noodling around on the drums that I thought I'd take a crack at taking that over. And it took me a few days in the studio to figure out what was the best approach. But it was, a chance for me to just explore my limitations, I guess.
You said the word limitations. It seems like exceeding limitations is kind of your philosophy about music. You're sort of always breaking boundaries and trying to do something different.
Well, not so much limitations as expectations. Additionally, I never had the economic strictures that a lot of other artists have had because of my career as a record producer. And I had made so much money as a record producer that I never would go into the studio thinking, this record has to be a hit or my career is over.
You mentioned producing. It would take me all day to list all the different bands you produced. The Band, Janis Joplin, Alice Cooper, the list goes on and on. Is there anything in your producing career that you look back on that stands out?
You can't deny that having a hand in the fifth largest selling album of all time, that being Bat Outta Hell by Meatloaf, wouldn't have had some effect if it was only monetary. Indeed, it was. I managed to find ways to get myself in trouble with the IRS and spend all the money that I made on it anyway. My philosophy about production is that there's not necessarily one way to do everything. People come with different shortcomings to the process, and your job as producer is to make up whatever those shortcomings are. I have certain confidence in myself that even though I may not like what's on the radio, I understand how to make it.
I always thought about a lot of your songs. Personally, they were sort of like songs that I wished I could sing to the girl I was afraid to talk to.
There are a lot of songs that are appropriate to that, but most of them come from earlier in my career. You know, I don't really sit around moping about my high school romances anymore, but there's still people going through high school, and the songs, for some reason, you know, help to illuminate that whole kind of phase that everybody goes through when you're young and naive and fall in love at the drop of a hat.
Todd Rundgren spoke with Here and Now's Alex Ashlock. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Monica Brady-Meyerhoff. Please join us again here and now.